When you face a big decision or have a business problem to solve, you want an experienced banker, someone you know and can trust to help you reach your goals. At American Federal in Crookston, ag and business banker Bill Anderson has the knowledge and expertise to help you find the best solution. Expect a full review of your financials and a prompt decision made right here by your local American Federal banker, Bill Anderson.
The art of remembering. That's a Stennis memorial. When the time comes, Stennis Granite Company offers expertly designed custom memorials from the smallest footstone to the largest monument. With the help of Stennis Granite, your ideas become a unique expression of the person it memorializes. Each design is custom created and handcrafted in-house. Whether pre-planning for your own peace of mind or choosing the perfect memorial legacy for a loved one, Stennis Granite is with you from concept to completion. Please view the Stennis online gallery at stennisgranite.com and trust your memories to Stennis Granite Company in East Grand Forks.
Again, right now in downtown Crookston, 37 degrees with overcast skies overhead. With the noontime news, here is Chris Fee.
Well, thanks, Leo. Taking a look at our world and national news headlines at this hour, the House Judiciary Committee has voted to allow its staff to question Attorney General William Barr, throwing his scheduled testimony Thursday into question. Barr was testifying in the Senate during the House panel's vote on Wednesday and has objected to the change. It's unclear whether Barr will testify before Chairman Gerald Nadler's panel as scheduled. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov has strongly criticized U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo for interference in Venezuela's political crisis. A ministry statement issued Wednesday says that Lavrov and Pompeo spoke by phone at the United States initiative. A British judge has sentenced WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange to 50 weeks in prison for jumping bail in 2012. Judge Deborah Taylor said today that Assange merited near the maximum sentence of 1 year because of the seriousness of his offense. She rejected his claim for leniency based on the nearly 7 years he spent in the Ecuadorian embassy. Olympic champion Caster Semenya has lost her appeal against rules governing unusually high testosterone in female runners, meaning she and other women like her will have to take medication to suppress their levels of the male sex hormone if they want to compete. In a landmark 2-1 ruling, the highest court in world sports said today that the proposed rules are discriminatory, but such discrimination is necessary to preserve the integrity of female athletics. Stacey Abrams' decision not to run for U.S. Senate from Georgia is a blow to Senate Democrats' effort to recruit candidates who can help them win a majority in 2020. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer tried to persuade Abrams to run. The inability of Schumer and other Democrats to corral well-known candidates underscores that many big players are betting they'll have better futures outside Capitol Hill. That is a look at our world and national news headlines at this hour.
When you face a big decision or have a business problem to solve, you want an experienced banker, someone you know and can trust to help you reach your goals. At American Federal in Crookston, ag and business banker Bill Anderson has the knowledge and expertise to help you find the best solution. Expect a full review of your financials and a prompt decision made right here by your local American Federal banker, Bill Anderson.
You were my wife. You mattered.
You were my dad. You mattered.
You were my sister. You mattered.
Every life has meaning and purpose. That's why choosing a monument to celebrate the life of a loved one is so important. At Stennis Granite, our compassionate design professionals will work with you from concept to completion to tell the story of those who matter most to you for generations to come. When it's time to choose a personalized memorial, buy directly from the monument builder you can trust, Stennis Granite in East Grand Forks. Because they mattered. Learn more at stennisgranite.com.
Well, right now in downtown Crookston, we have cloudy skies continuing, 37 degrees, a northeast wind of only 5 miles an hour. That creates a wind chill of 33. Barometric pressure steady over the last hour at 30.13 inches. Humidity steady as well at 100%. The forecast for Crookston and the listening area for the rest of today: cloudy continuing, chance of drizzle and light rain throughout the afternoon. Highs in the mid-40s, northeast winds up to 10 miles an hour, 90% chance of rain the rest of today. Then tonight, light rain, lows in the mid-30s, northeast winds around 5 miles an hour, shifting to the northwest after midnight. a 90% chance of rain tonight. And then Thursday, it looks like we won't have any rain in the forecast, but that will change Friday, Saturday, and then again Monday and Tuesday. So I think we all know how May is going to go here. It's going to be more of the same, it looks like, although the temperatures will get a little warmer, highs into the mid-50s, but chance of rain continuing basically for the next week. We'll take a break. We'll be back and take a look at the rest of the news, and we'll take a full look at the weather coming up a little later here in the noontime news. But we'll take a break. We'll be back, take a look at the state news. That'll be coming up next, right after this, from our friends at Montague's Flower Shop and Pru Refrigeration Heating and Appliance. With the tease of nice weather, everybody seems to be catching spring fever. Well, if you have spring fever, Montague's Flower Shop in Crookston has just what the doctor ordered. Bring the outdoors in with a colorful bouquet, floral arrangements, and green and blooming plants that will brighten up your day. You can treat yourself or make someone special feel wonderful. And Montague's even makes house calls. For deliveries, call Montague's Flower Shop in Crookston at 281-4419. That's Montague's Flower Shop in downtown Crookston.
An energy-efficient Trane system from Pru Refrigeration Heating and Appliance in Crookston is designed for maximum efficiency and ENERGY STAR qualification when matched Trane components are combined into a complete system. You get more warmth, more cooling, and more clean air from the energy you use. Air cleaners, humidifiers, and heat pumps, as well as digital thermostats, will return the cost of your investment quickly in energy savings. Call Pru Refrigeration Heating and Appliance today at 281-1370 about an energy-saving Trane system. It's hard to stop a Trane.
Guilty of third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter. That's the jury's verdict in the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Mohammed Noor in the fatal shooting of Justine Damon. Her father reportedly wept when the verdict was read, and the father of the defendant covered his face with his hands. A third-degree murder conviction carries a sentence up to 25 years. Analysts say it's somewhat unusual because it's a judgment that the crime was committed by a defendant with a depraved mind. The Minnesota News Network's Scott Peterson is at the Hennepin County Courthouse yesterday and tells us how people reacted.
I think the thing that people are most surprised about is how quickly the jury was able to return their verdict. It was something like 11 hours or somewhere in that ballpark, relatively short amount of time for as long as the trial went on. But of course, the reaction is going to become clearer as people, the shock of the verdict coming in this quickly settles in, reaction will also start to have a ripple effect, I'm sure.
That's the Minnesota News Network, Scott Peterson. Minnesota's representative, Ilan Omar, says a guilty verdict for a Minneapolis police officer is an important step towards justice and a victory for people who oppose police brutality. But Omar also says in a tweet that Mohammed Noor's conviction in the death of Damon, a white woman, comes after acquittals nationwide for officers who killed people of color. A bill passed by the Minnesota House that contains controversial gun reform measures faces strong opposition in the Republican-controlled Senate. The bill has a red flag law to take firearms away from people who are a danger to themselves or others and requires background checks on all gun sales. Governor Walz supports the measure and says,
was mentioned by a senator as being extreme. That's the same extreme legislation that passed by a Republican governor in both Arizona and Florida with Republican legislatures. We're coming on the heels of another shooting. I think there's every reason to believe that we can get at least that done as a minimum. So I'm still hopeful.
Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka calls the measures a non-starter for the Senate. Democrats' efforts to beef up state aid to cities and counties were not successful as the Republican-controlled Minnesota Senate passed a tax cut bill on Tuesday. Minority Leader Tom Bach argued it would not be a tax increase.
Putting money into the local government aid and county program aid to provide direct property tax relief. That's what this amendment does.
Lionel Lakes Republican Roger Chamberlain responded,
we got a lot of good things in the bill for cities and counties across the board, so vote red, please.
Governor Tim Walz and House Democrats are pushing for increases in state aid to cities and counties, meaning the issue will likely be part of an end-of-session budget negotiations, which begin soon. I'd like to have one of the legislators say if they give more state aid to cities and counties, they shouldn't be allowed to raise the levy. We'll see. They probably won't do that. Attempts were unsuccessful to enact a buffer strip tax credit for farmers when the Minnesota Senate voted on a tax cut bill yesterday. North Mankato Democrat Nick Frentz proposed it.
This reimburses the farmer for the land that we made him take out of production.
But Republicans argued against what they termed going through the back door with a tax credit. Laverne Senator Bill Weber.
Now, if you wish to make that property whole, great. But then today you should be willing to authorize the state to write a check for $20,000 to $25,000 to that individual farmer.
Minnesota's 2015 law requires farmers take buffer strips along waterways out of production to minimize runoff into rivers and lakes. Well, things are going to get interesting here over the next few weeks down at the Capitol. And the Department of Natural Resources says it will appeal a court ruling that it lacked the power to change the name of Lake Calhoun in Minneapolis to its original Dakota name, Bede Maka Ska, B-D-E-M-A-K-A-S-K-A. The DNR says it will file its appeal with the Minnesota Supreme Court by May 29th. The DNR last year granted a request from Hennepin County to drop the name of pro-slavery Southerner and former Vice President John Calhoun. That is a look at the state news. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Take a look at the sports. That'll be coming up after this from Montague's Flower Shop and Pru Refrigeration Heating and Appliance. With the tease of nice weather, everybody seems to be catching spring fever. Well, if you have spring fever, Montague's Flower Shop in Crookston has just what the doctor ordered. Bring the outdoors in with a colorful bouquet, floral arrangements, and green and blooming plants that will brighten up your day. You can treat yourself or make someone special feel wonderful. And Montague's even makes house calls. For deliveries, call Montague's Flower Shop in Crookston at 281-4419. That's Montague's Flower Shop in downtown Crookston.
An energy-efficient Trane system from Pru Refrigeration Heating and Appliance in Crookston is designed for maximum efficiency and ENERGY STAR qualification when matched Trane components are combined into a complete system. You get more warmth, more cooling, and more clean air from the energy you use. Air cleaners, humidifiers, and heat pumps, as well as digital thermostats, will return the cost of your investment quickly in energy savings. Call Pru Refrigeration Heating and Appliance today at 281-1370 about an energy-saving Trane system. It's hard to stop a Trane.
Taking a look at the sports news from yesterday, as you heard here on KROX, the Pirate baseball team lost to the Roseau Rams 7-3 and 11-2 in a doubleheader played in Roseau. And in game one, Brooks Butt was 1-for-3 with two runs batted in, and Leighton Salentine was 1-for-3. Joseph Ramirez was 1-for-1 with an RBI. In game two, Crookston was led by Brady Butt, who went 2-for-4, and Gavin Salem was 1-for-3 with a triple. Roseau improves to 5-4 on the season. The Pirates dropped to 1-2, and we'll be home this weekend hosting the Jim Karn Baseball Classic, starting with Thompson on Friday at 6:30 p.m. The Crookston Pirate Boys tennis team struggled in singles and dropped a pair of tight doubles matches, falling 6-1 to the Moorhead Spuds yesterday. The Lone Pirate win came at second doubles with Jack Garman and Robert Janorski. Crookston drops to 0-6 in duels on the year. They travel to East Grand Forks tomorrow for the Northwest Quad. The Pirate softball team, they lost 20-1 and 14-1 in Section 8AA, a doubleheader played in War Road last night. Crookston's Jasmine Hansen and Maddie Salentine went 1-for-2 in Game 1. Game 2, Kenzie Epomo was 1-for-3 and scored the lone Pirate run. The Pirates dropped to 0-6 on the year. They will host Thief River Falls on Thursday. And the UMC baseball team bounced back from being shut out 1-0 in Game 1 to win the second game 14-4 in 7 innings and splitting a doubleheader with Minnesota Duluth. In Game 1, Nate Albright was the tough luck loser, scattering 7 hits over 7 innings, only giving up 1 unearned run. Brock Rell continues to swing a hot bat, going 3-for-3 with a double. Game 2, Brock Reller in the first time, but he also went 2-for-3 in the second game, scored 3 runs, 2 RBIs, and 2 walks. And the Golden Eagles, they are now 26-19 on the year, 18-12 in the NSIC. They wrap up the regular season hosting Minot State in a 3-game series this weekend, a doubleheader on Friday, and another game on Saturday. Minnesota Duluth, they are 13-32 overall, 10-23 in the NSIC. For the stories, pictures of tennis and UMC and Pirate baseball, coaches, comments, stats, scores, and more, go to KROXAM.com. Click on sports. Well, the Twins took one on the chin last night. They lost 11-0. And I think that gets you up to date on everything that happened yesterday. JV softball, War Road won the first game 17-3. Second game, Crookston won 13-5. Boys and girls track, their meet at East Grand Forks was canceled. Girls golf, that has been postponed. They were supposed to be at Minocqua yesterday in Minocqua not open. Junior high baseball, that was canceled due to the wet fields in Crookston. On the sports schedule for today, the Pirate boys and girls golfers are both in action as we speak. The boys are at the Fertile Beltrami and Red Lake Falls Invitational. They play nine holes in Fertile, then they go to Red Lake Falls and play nine more. And we'll have results a little later this afternoon on that. Girls golf, they're at the East Grand Forks Invitational at Valley Golf Club. That started at 9:30. And the Minnesota Twins, they are hosting Houston again tonight, 6:30 the pregame, 7:10 the first pitch. That is a look at the sports for the past week's sporting news, the stories, stats, scores, pictures, and more. Go to our website, KROXAM.com. Click on sports. And right after the noon news, we'll be posting our Athletes of the Week. It's the Athletes of the Year as well. Nick Garman and Rachel Hefta. And we'll have more on them coming up right after the noon news. And we'll take a break. We'll be back. Take a look at our local news and the weather. That's going to be coming up after this from our friends at Hugo's Family Marketplace and Courtney Polkerbeck, State Farm Insurance. In Crookston and the Red River Valley, you know how much it means to have neighbors you can count on. Like the Cookout Kings, who invite you over every weekend for Burgerpalooza. Well, here's another good neighbor you can count on, State Farm agent Courtney Polkerbeck. Courtney and his team are here to help life go right when you combine your home and auto insurance, which can save you money and time. So combine home and auto and start the savings rolling. Call State Farm agent Courtney Polkerbeck in Crookston today at 281-2234.
Pick up your taco fixings at Hugo's Family Marketplace. Hugo's 85% lean triple fresh ground beef, $2.99 a pound. 16-ounce package of Dole shredded lettuce, $1.99. 6 to 8 ounce assorted Crystal Farm shredded or chunk cheese, 2 for $4. And the 6 packs of 1.5 liter bottles or 6 packs of 7.5 ounce cans of Pepsi products, they're 4 for $10. You can find all this week's savings at GoHugos.com.
You're gonna find more low prices, more great stuff when you go to Hugo's.
Taking a look at the local news, the Crookston Housing and Economic Development Authority, as we call them, CHETA, held a working session yesterday afternoon with members of the Crookston City Council and community. The meeting centered on the developing the initiatives to invest the $350,000 the Crookston City Council voted to transfer to CHETA on November 13th for economic development and a reserve fund for the Valley Technology Park, which has been built up through the building's rent to tenants. Back in November, the City Council voted 6-2 to transfer $350,000 to CHETA for economic development. Councilman Clayton Briggs and former Councilman Dennis Regan voted against the resolution. The meeting to develop the priorities and strategies for that money succeeded in setting some priorities, but was called short by CHETA Chair Kurt Hellstab after a disagreement broke out over the long-completed process of transferring the money to CHETA. The productivity of the meeting came to a standstill when Tim Denny asked whether the decision on what to spend those funds on would be brought forward for public input. He said by transferring the money to CHETA without an established or with a changing plan, it was shielding the spending of money from public view. Denny, speaking after the meeting, said his question was whether the public would have input to the plan.
My only question was were the taxpayers going to have a chance to have any input into the changes in the spending plan? That money was approved for a certain set of things, and that's fine. But if we're going to change that, I was just asking if there was going to be a process for the taxpayers, the citizens, to hear about that in like a council meeting. Apparently the answer is no, but that's what I was hoping we could get to, would be maybe one more shot at the community having input if they want it. They may not even want the input, but it seems to me to be appropriate to give them that.
Denny's understanding that there was no public input was contrary to what was said during the meeting by several CHETA board members and councilmen. Hellstab said the CHETA board makes a recommendation for how to spend the money and council approves where the money goes. Councilman Jake Fee also said he didn't know what Denny meant by there isn't public input. He stated CHETA meetings are open to the public, there is an open forum every meeting, and the rules are the same as they are for the city council as far as posting agendas. In fact, Minnesota Statute 13D.01, an open meeting law, neither requires nor prohibits agendas, although CHETA does post the agenda for each meeting in advance on the bulletin board at the Valley Technology Park, just as the City Council agendas are posted at City Hall. Fee also noted that the Council approved $350,000 for additional economic development, not for specific projects or programs already being run. City Administrator Shannon Stassen said the process for moving money to CHETA was not the right process. He said talks were on spending money on a couple of items, and then the money came over on a different pretense. Addie and we're now talking about different things on how to use the money, which is good. CHITA Executive Director Craig Hoyseth responded to that that the draft document for uses of the funds he had provided council listed several possible initiatives the money could be used for. Childcare, land acquisition, housing incentives and rehab, and workforce training, the same topics that were discussed in the working session Tuesday. Hoyseth added that CHITA and the City Council work collaboratively, stating that every council member except Briggs attended the working session. And Fee said, if we're not going to use our money for economic development, why are you collecting it? Saying it was sitting in reserve, so obviously the city didn't need it. He then said, quote, I think you, Shannon, need to get over it, end quote. Stassen responded, Oak Court was on the draft document, to which Hoyseth said the CHITA removed the Oak Court revisions from uses for that money after input from the council said the money should be used for economic development. He added, we need to work towards what is best for the city of Crookston. Hellstab then called the meeting to curtail further escalation of the disagreement of the meeting's purpose had broken down. Stassen immediately left the facility before he could be asked for comment, and Fee said he had no comment. Hoyseth, however, did speak to the underlying issues that seemingly plague his and Stassen's working relationship and what can be done to better that relationship.
The city administrator and I need to work really hand-in-hand to make the priorities of Crookston move forward. Both Shannon and I are extremely passionate about the positive outcome of Crookston and how we want to develop that. Certainly the city council is who Shannon answers to, and I answer to my CHITA Board of Commissioners, which two of those commissioners are city council people. So we are fairly well aligned. It's just a matter of kind of working out some of those little bugs. I feel that there's no problem in that.
Earlier in the meeting, things deviated off course for a moment when Lori Wagner, who said she was speaking as an outside observer, not in her role with the United Way, brought up the council's issues with the CHITA coffee maker purchase. She said CHITA brings business to town and that it's part of the remodel to showcase those successes. The technology space being provided was a place to meet with those businesses when they come to town and for people in business in town to use for meetings. She used the analogy of Mayor Guy Martin, City Administrator Shannon Stassen, and CHITA Executive Director Craig Hoyseth being links in the chain to make Crookston successful, adding that as an outsider, it feels like Crookston is broken, and if people can't get along, the city isn't going anywhere. Well, I think everybody in town would agree with that comment. Stassen thanked Lori for her perspective and acknowledged the redesigned space looked nice, but questioned whether the Valley Technology Park was truly incubating business or competing with spaces in town, stating people have retired out of the Valley Technology Park. He said this is a conversation that could have been had before Tuesday, adding that he believes it's the same as fill-in housing, start from the core and work out. Hoyseth responded that CHITA would love to have a place downtown, but referenced the Mayflower Building in Bemidji, a business hub for emerging entrepreneurs and starting tech and engineering businesses, stating a building like that cost about $2 million. And what CHITA was accomplishing on a small scale was a trial space for $25,000. Things got back on track with a discussion about using the Valley Technology Park Reserve to set up a retail business incubator or collaborative workspace downtown. Hoyseth said it is possible if that was the way the city wanted to go, the Valley Technology Park funds could be a mechanism to make either of those types of spaces possible. The funds are available due to a shift in focus for the Valley Technology Park and change from a traditional business incubator, a model which typically has a negative cash flow, to strategically recruit tenants that would be complementary to economic development, according to Hoyseth.
It used to be more of a business incubator model, and those models, by their very nature, are very difficult to cash flow. So you have a negative cash flow problem, and of course, as you're looking at budgets and funds every year, you say, oh, if we have a negative cash flow, we'd like to get rid of that. So what we did is we struck out with a strategic initiative to try and recruit other tenants that could maybe be complementary to CHITA and economic development. Those tenants are here now. That's both the ARI and Extension. Great tenants, have great office space in the back here, and I think really enjoy their space. They're paying the leases, and those cash payments are enough to cash flow this building by themselves. In addition to that, we have other tenants, whether incubating or primary or secondary tenants, and that provides a positive cash flow.
And Hoyseth said several good ideas came up about how to utilize the funds created by the Valley Technology Park.
Some of the ideas that came up was maybe a retail incubation, maybe going downtown with some collaborative workspace, and just maybe working on things that can just help our downtown revitalization and other places that business could use a hand.
And prior to the meeting going off track, the City Council and Cheetah Board of Commissioners were productive in developing some focal points for spending the $350,000.
We had a really good discussion about the $350,000 that was allocated late last year, and essentially trying to prioritize that, what we should do strategically as a community to invest those funds properly. One thing that came out was the fact that we need to work on our workforce development. Those issues that we call workforce development are essentially childcare, housing, and training. Those three things kind of envelope our workforce and development of workforce. Those are the obstacles, those are the challenges, and those are some of the priorities that were listed tonight.
I don't know what's worse, Washington, D.C. or City of Crookston. Well, at least some good news came out of that meeting last night. The late spring has slowed down the Crookston Park and Rec staff a bit this year, but Director Scott Riopel said things are starting to get rolling and Central Park will be ready for the opening of camping season May 15th.
With the late snowfalls and the wetness, it is a little bit slower, but now everything is gone. So the crews have been out working in the parks a little bit, getting them ready, getting garbage cans out, dressing things up here and there. The big thing now is after the high water incident we had recently, to get Central Park back in shape. So there'll be some cleaning of the roadways. The park will have some silt that in time will disappear. We've got to redo the campground, or not redo it, but put all of our power back in, because that's all removed, the electrical components during the high water issues we have, so that we don't have to replace them later. Also down in the campground, have to get our ranger station back in place. And camping, actually, our camping season opens on the 15th of May, so we have a couple weeks left.
Once the water recedes, Riopel says cleanup in the park is primarily limited to remove the silt deposits from the roads.
Most of that stuff with rains and stuff take care of it. There isn't anything that's hazardous that comes into the park. If there's any fish and stuff that end up in there, I believe there's enough eagles and stuff in the area. They take care of those type things, because we do get on overflows with high water. Sometimes we'll find fish in puddles, but those usually disappear with the wildlife that we have in the area. And the rest of it, no, it's just there's a silt or a sandy type stuff that ends up on the roadways. We have to kind of get that dried out and get that swept off and cleaned up or scraped off, whatever it takes. And there's a few posts that may have to be put back in, because with the high water, we had ice that came through and they may have taken down some posts that we didn't remove.
And spring sports have also been struggling to get on the fields with the wet conditions, and Riopel said work should start progressing as schools let out and more seasonal staff is hired.
Got crews working on the ball fields a little bit with trying to get the spring sports in. That's been later with all the snowfall, and then of course you have frost issues you have to deal with. Once it dries out, it seems it's dry, and frost keeps coming to the surface and wetting it, so they've been working a little bit up there. We just don't have a whole lot of staff on right now, so once school is out for the spring, we'll have some students coming on and some summer help coming on to help this process and start mowing. 300 acres plus we'll be hitting.
So hopefully we can start mowing soon. Due to the Riverview Health construction, the south entrance to Ultru Clinic's parking lot will be closed effective the morning of May 2nd until further notice. Please use Carroll Street to access the north entrance to Ultru Clinic's parking lot. Ultru Clinic would like to apologize for any inconvenience that may cause. And this year's theme for Celebrate the Young Child events has been the power of kindness. The goal was to promote the importance of social and emotional development and modeling kindness to the youngest community members. The committee was excited to engage families on this topic throughout the year, and hopefully families discovered how to incorporate kindness into their family lives. Over 200 children and their families attended the Family Festival event on April 25th to explore the power of kindness with hands-on activities, a meal, and informational booths for parents to seek information about the wonderful opportunities our community has to offer. And is your child developing like most other children the same age? Find out by having your child screened. Riverview Rehab Services will offer free developmental screenings for children of all ages Tuesday, May 7th from 4 to 6 p.m. in the Rehab Services Department at Riverview Health. Due to construction, please enter through the north entrance near the North Clinic. Development screenings are simple and easy checkups. Physical, occupational, and speech therapists will screen all areas of development, including gross motor skills, speech and language, reading and writing, self-help skills, fine motor skills, and social skills. A respiratory therapist will also be available to share asthma education and answer questions. To schedule an appointment for the free screening, call 281-9463. On the obituary desk today, Arlene Mae Duckworth, 94, of War Road, died April 25th at the War Road Senior Living Center in War Road. Arlene was born in Louisville Township, Red Lake County, May 2nd, 1924, and graduated from Lafayette High School. Was united in marriage to Leonard D. Duckworth in Crookston, where they made their home and raised their children. She is survived by her children, Barbara Smith of Prior Lake, Gary of Oregon, Alan of Oregon, Dwayne of War Road, and sister-in-law Doreen Duckworth of Phoenix, Arizona. 9 grandchildren, 18 great-grandchildren, 3 great-great-grandchildren, and many relatives and friends. Besides her husband of 64 years, Leonard, Arlene was preceded in death by her parents, her son Randall in 1996, brother Raymond Zutz, sisters Myrtle Nelson and Lucille Rock, brother-in-law and sister-in-law Donald Duckworth, and brother-in-law Robert Duckworth. Services will be held at a later date. The flag flying over the Crooks National Guard Armory today is in honor of George Normandin and Keith Moore. George Normandin was born in 1912 in Gently. He enlisted in the U.S. Army in 1942 and served in World War II in the European campaign until being discharged in 1945. George Normandin died on this date in 1993 in Crookston. Keith Moore, he was born in Bathgate, North Dakota in February of 1925. He enlisted in the U.S. Navy in 1942 as a pharmacist mate and was discharged in 1946. Keith Moore died in the state in 1999 in Crookston. That is a look at the local news as we shift over to the weather. Right now in downtown Crookston, 37 degrees, cloudy skies, a northeast wind of 5 miles an hour, barometric pressure at 30.13 inches and steady, humidity is at 100%, and 37 degrees with a northeast wind of 5, we have 33 degrees as our wind chill. The sun rose this morning at 6:08. The sun will set at 8:38 for 14 and a half hours of daylight. The record low, 16, set in 1958. The record high, 88, set in 1952. Year ago high, 45. Year ago low, 36. We had 31 hundredths of an inch of rain a year ago today. The average high, 60. The average low, 37. Yesterday's high was 45. Yesterday's low, 36. Taking a look at the forecast for Crookston and the listening area for the rest of today. Cloudy skies continuing. Light rain in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-40s. Northeast winds up to 10 miles an hour. A 90% chance of rain. Tonight, light rain, lows in the mid-30s, northeast winds around 5 miles an hour, shifting to the northwest after midnight, a 90% chance of rain. Thursday, partly sunny, highs in the mid-50s, southwest winds up to 10. Friday, it'll be partly sunny, a 40% chance of rain, highs 60 to 65. Saturday, partly sunny, a slight chance of rain, highs in the mid-50s. Sunday, it'll be partly sunny, highs 50 to 55. Monday, partly sunny, a chance of light rain, highs 50 to 55. And Tuesday, partly sunny, a chance of light rain, highs in the mid-50s. Not much more to add to the weather in the forecast. It's a chance of precipitation for the next week. Hopefully they're wrong. That is a look at the Noontime News on KROX for all the stories, whether it's news, sports. We have weather. We have the forecast. It's updated throughout the day on our website. Just click on that link in the upper right hand where you see the weather little box there. That has all the weather there, and you can check out the bulletin board, all the different community pages as well. Just go to KROXAM.com and go from there. The Noontime News is brought to you in part today by American Federal Bank, Stennis Granite, Montague's Flower Shop, Pru Refrigeration, Heating and Appliance, Hugo's Family Marketplace, and Courtney Polkerbeck State Farm Insurance. Listen again for the Noontime News tomorrow.